Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is Monday, February the 22nd, 2021. And I have the honor to have Professor Paul on and Jeff on, and, well, I'm going to let them run with it because we're going to do a short show today and basically about headlines. Go ahead, Paul.
Thank you. I am going to start with the idea of complexity. Complexity, by definition, is a series of whole part, whole relationships. So think of a circle and all of the spokes that connect to the middle of the spoke, and then it goes to the outer rim. And so you've got a bunch of circles, and then you've got the core in the middle. What we have right now is new lies for old, a trust project going on. We have an absolutely diabolical shadow government that is involved in every aspect of our lives. I just want to start with the economy. And some information that I gleaned last night doing research, there is a somewhat notorious, famous, infamous guy named Harry Dent. And Harry Dent made some outrageous claims 25 years ago, maybe even further back, and he said the Dow was going to reach 25,000. I remember reading Harry Dent and thinking, wow, this guy is a shill. He has an agenda, and maybe his agenda really was to sell his newsletter, and maybe he's not an asset. I don't know. Harry's not here to defend himself, but here's what Harry reports. Twice in the last 8 days, the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, that controls the World Bank, which really controls all of the central banks. The IMF is almost the top agency or apparatus that controls money. And what they've said twice in 8 days is within the next 30 days, the United States dollar will no longer be the world reserve currency. The world reserve currency is a big concept, and what I need every listener to know is Federal Reserve notes are created by selling debt. And for your debt, you get a Federal Reserve note. Some call it currency. We call it the dollar. And for anybody to buy oil, they have to supposedly purchase it with Federal Reserve notes or the dollar or the World Reserve currency. What that means is central banks all over the world, every central bank has to have a supply of Federal Reserve notes. And what the IMF and World Bank tell them is what their reserve requirement is. And it's a ratio. How many Federal Reserve notes do they have to have so that they get the right to purchase oil or energy in dollars? So what we really have is a fiat currency that is also a petrodollar. Once the dollar ceases to be a petrodollar, it then becomes very, very weak in terms of purchasing power. Some know it as inflation, but what Harry Dent said is it's not going to be inflation. It's going to be hyperinflation. And just to give you a quick example, that $100 bill you have, well, it may be worth $10. And the $1 bill, $5 bill, kiss it goodbye. I don't think anyone's going to be taking them. But it could go very, very, very quickly. And what I will say is I've always thought that COVID was multiple agendas. And what I told my daughter very early on is I've been through a lot of these so-called health crises, this 1976 flu, which was another hoax, ruse, scam. Of course, we all know about the scam that was HIV and AIDS. We also know about the H1N1, and then, of course, we know about Ebola, too. And what these people behind Kurt do with the economics is they use other agendas integrated with the economy. And I'm going to turn it over to you guys after quoting a true piece of human garbage, a true traitor, an absolute despicable human being by the name of William Jefferson Clinton. And what that guy has done to America is really beyond my words. But what he did get right is he said, it's the economy, stupid. And that is probably why, well, it was a rigged election. They're all rigged. All right, I turn it over to you guys. What do you say about the economy, Fawcett?
I'll let Jeff run on it because he's a financial expert. And so let's let him do it.
Okay, well, yeah, we see a mismatch of interest rates and government debt and supply and demand. When you get helicopter money that they're talking about being piped directly into accounts, it's kind of a delicate balance. I mean, you oversupply with money the system, and then, of course, you start chasing the goods that are there. Those same dollars escalate the price of those goods. So if you pump too much, you get this velocity going where people are saying, hey, look, I'm going to go chase these assets, and you drive the prices up. So there is a balance of not having too much or too little at the same time. But everybody in the world operates off of a fiat currency. Currently, we have no backing on anything. We were fractionally backed at one time by gold for a very fraction of the dollar, but when we remove that fractional backing, Bretton Woods, then you end up with a currency backed by really the ability of your government to function and to enforce that. So you've got kind of a military might, and you've got a presence around the globe with that military might, and you can enforce the fact that everybody's going to use your currency. Well, we are long in the tooth on being able to enforce the use of our dollar everywhere you go. And really, like Paul was saying, kind of the problem you run into is how quickly you could see that spin out of control if overnight confidence is lost. Then you're going to have everybody with what remaining dollars they have clearing out their accounts. So it starts slowly, but then it really picks up speed. And when it picks up speed, you can't stop it. And then you cannot restore confidence back into the system. And I think that's the danger of where we're at. We lose the handle on this thing. Then everybody's looking around at each other like, well, what do you got? What are you going to trust? And this is being underpinned by other countries that are simply tired of being bullied by the us having the currency reserve, because they have to stack up dollars or government paper in their accounts to match, to trade back with us for these trade differences or imbalances, because their currency itself is so much weaker than ours. They need to bolster their reserves in dollars to actively trade back and forth. We're to the point now where, you know, we want goods from other countries, but they're saying, hey, look, we're giving you the goods, and you guys are giving us paper, but we know the paper's losing a lot about the back end, and we don't think you guys can keep this thing up. So we're kind of on a monetary powder keg, and I don't think we really understand, and I don't think the policymakers understand. It could explode at any time. So that's where we're at. And it quickly escalates, and so you get an interruption, like even maybe with the in Texas. Let's say you got the truckers, or you've got anymore. We are a just-in-time delivery system for our economy. If you take one of these components out, you suppress it. It's kind of like whack-a-mole, you know, the game you play at Chuck E. Cheese. I take my kids there. You know, the mole-headed pop. If you whack that one down, and well, sure enough, another one would come back up. And I kind of think we're in a whack-a-mole economy, because you may try to plug one dike, but you've got another that's going to burst. We can't plug them all. And that's kind of the danger of sitting on juggling so much. And then you throw in the corporations now that tend to want to be big brothers to the government. You've got that matching of government and big corporations. And correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, but I think that's fascism. So anyway, we are in a very precarious situation, and it could escalate. And I think that's kind of the problem with Texas, is they're kind of a microcosm of what can go wrong when you start to see a lot of things that are not systematically operating like you would like them to.
Now, let's talk about the Federal Reserve. 1913, private bankers take over the Federal Reserve, and we've had it ever since. They created income tax, corporations, and income tax on individuals, which was illegal. It was strictly a volunteer basis. Then you come to the 1933 Act, which is Emergency War Powers Act. As long as they keep a war going, the President of the United States can override the Congress and Senate with Emergency War Powers Act orders, like Biden, writing all these executive orders, they call them, to do everything he wants to put back into place without the United States Congress or Senate doing it, which is supposed to be the people. Supposed to be the people. But this is how they control it. Take over the banking system, give them emergency war powers. As long as we've got a war going, folks, it remains into effect, and it has. Now, they've got a war someplace all the time. This is their game. Always warring against somebody to take over their country, to steal from them, to get them in control, kill the people off. It's all planned. And this century, with the Industrial Revolution that we've had and the alien technology, we're in a world of crap. Now, I'm aware that Blackstone, BlackRock, which is old Silverado drug money, and it's through one of the members of the Council of Foreign Relations, I'm trying to think of his name, he was the recipient of all this money from Silverado, Neil Bush, Leonard Millman, Larry Mizell, Norman Brownstein, Daddy Bush, the Clintons' drug money, Iran-Contra, pumped into that system. And they were, I put an article up if you on my website, Blackstone, BlackRock, and how they just took over, basically incorporated themselves into the U.S. Treasury a while back.
Well, they're really the fourth branch of government now, because they are the one in charge of liquidating the assets. And I'm thankful for your agile mind, Stu, because this is really where I wanted to go. We have a very curious situation where Dopey is signing, sometimes left-handed, sometimes right-handed. I don't know how many Dopeys there are, but there are several. And I'm not even sure he's at the White House. And then you have a Congress that is non-functioning, but then it's always been a charade facade. All politics is entertainment for them and mockery of us. And any of us that have ever bought into the left-right paradigm thing, and I know that we wanted better from Trump, but we're not better from him. We didn't get better from him. All we got was more division and false promises. Now, he said all the right things, and sometimes I wish I couldn't go into it. I couldn't lean into this one guy, because as Stu pointed out before, the president doesn't really run the show. And Dopey is not running the show, but he's signing all these executive orders. And we've got a fence, and it's a very curious fence. You know, you got barbed wire, and you got National Guardsmen, and you got a Congress that doesn't really do anything. They just follow a script. It's all scripted, people. It's all manufactured. This stimulus money, everything related to COVID, it's all scripted. It's all AI, super AI. It's a computer running a live action role play. And we are being beta tested all the time. And so he signs these executive orders, and that bypasses Congress. And therefore, what you have is really tyranny or totalitarianism, and something big is going to happen. And I don't know exactly if the big false flag happens relative to Congress, or we get a series of 5, 10, 20, multiple city false flags, but they have plans. And I cannot figure out what's going on in Washington, D.C., and I would rather not conjecture or surmise, because I've spent too much time putting in the yards into research and thinking critically and studying Bible prophecy to suggest anything that would be valid by 4chan or 8chan or, hey, I love the people that want a better America and wanted to believe in trombone. But hey, reality is you don't trust in man or man, and we're the ones we've been looking for. But thank you for leading me there, Stu, because I don't even think that Congress is safe at this point. I think America under judgment, and whatever is going on in Congress, is the only thing that's clear is they're not in charge. They're fed a script, and they're being ushered in and out by U.S. Marshals. And I don't know if the fence is to keep them in or to protect them. I simply don't know the answers to that. But what you do have is the military intelligence industrial complex that is running the show. But once again, the military industrial intelligence complex is running the show. Isn't Intel, it's not Raytheon, it's not Google, it's not DARPA. There are people and entities above DARPA, RAND, Google, that are in control and that run the military industrial complex, and those people run a worldwide shadow government. And that worldwide shadow government has one major project that it's all going to culminate with, and that's called Zionism, and that's called World War III and Megiddo or Armageddon. And I know I gave you a mouthful there, but don't be assigning executive orders. Congress is pretending to care about Donald Trump still and about a stimulus platform. And in the meantime, they've taken down the grid in Texas, and that thing isn't gonna correct itself for years. And back to you guys.
I'm gonna throw this out. You mentioned something. Al Martin, who was the Iran-Contra whistleblower, a former friend, he's dead now, wrote the book The Conspirators. Now, it was a good book. I got it published for him. But his website, almartinrawl.com, has been taken over by a Mossad agent. Now, he told me there's 13 men above the president, 13 above the president telling him what to do. And if we think that we get somebody in, they're going to find out, they're going to do what they're supposed to do. So Donald Trump had the 13 disciples, or the 12 disciples of Satan telling him what to do. Came in at some point, had a talk with him. Henry Kissinger financed him after Milman and Bush tried to bust him in his casino there in New Jersey, Atlantic City, because he was making so much money. After Milman dies, after they bust him through the insurance companies, or tried to, bankrupting, Henry Kissinger, through Deutsche Bank, bailed him out. Now, they do that to their own. They steal from them their buffers, their fronts, their cutouts, people that are honest, maybe, trying to do a living, that want to build. Then they turn around and take it. Now, as an example, you can go to DonaldTrump.org, and you will see a building in Panama. This is a hotel during the invasion of Panama by Bill Barr's recommendation, etc., at the time. And when they did, or Daddy Bush invaded Panama, it was over the fact that Noriega and Daddy Bush got in this big trouble while he was president, got in trouble regarding drug money. And Panama wanted more money, or Bush wanted more cut of Noriega's cut of the drug money for supplying him the drugs. And that was through the Panama Canal, that was the whole bit, and plus the drugs he was supplying. Well, Daddy Bush starts cutting his paycheck, or not his paycheck, but his amount of money less than what was agreed upon. Well, Noriega says, screw you, Bush, and cuts him off the drugs. And he cuts him off and nationalizes two hotels in Panama. They're Hilton hotels. One of them belonged to Daddy Bush, the other one belonged to Leonard Milman, my ex witch doctor's father, who was one of the 12. Now, you can see on Trump.org, it was the best deal I ever did. After Milman died in 2004, sometime around 2000 and whatever it was, Trump, they offered the former brother-in-law of Leonard Milman, Alan Karsh, who's a major drug dealer in Denver, and who is an attorney, 650 or 950 South Cherry is his office. It's all, he deals now with the control of a $50 billion state. He's stolen, and Mizell's stolen. It's reduced to $25 billion to the Milman Family Trust. But Milman left $100 trillion to Larry Mizell that moved the gray men's empire, they call it. Now, Trump bought the hotel. They offered to him 100% financing and even construction money to redo the hotel with no call note, so they can't call his notes the way they did in Atlantic City. They do this to people. As an example, there was a guy tied to Davis Oil, his son, who was doing business with Milman, had a loan company, or not a loan company, but a mortgage company in Denver, and they were, I'm just explaining something, they were running massive ads to crater people and steal their equity. They called their notes. Now, Donald Trump had good intent, in my opinion, when he went into office, and he came up against the big boys. The 12 disciples of Satan had a talk with him. If you notice, they've done everything they could to shove him out of the door, and they did, right in front of everybody's face. He wasn't any saint by any means, folks, but I think he had good intent because of General Flynn and others that I knew that were connected to him. Now, Otis Johnson, who was connected to him, Flynn, told me that 6 out of 10 of the congressmen are chipped, that Israel chipped them. They set him in the chair. They invited him over to Israel. They put a thing underneath their door and gassed him. They were out. They sent the doctor in, put the chip in behind. He said the others are probably cloned. Now, when it comes to Congress and Senate, I have this statement that there's only Jim Jordan, Gaetz, Nunes, Jim Jordan, and I'm trying to think of the other one's name, Rand Paul. They're the only ones working for the American people. That's all we've got. What do we do with the four? We keep them. What do we do with the rest of them? Well, you can recall them. You didn't put them in office, but you can recall them. Or there's other ways of getting rid of the problem. That's handcuffs. I think I said my statement. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, one of the things that I'm thinking is that we've been under martial law, either soft martial law, or now I think we're under hard martial law. And what date would I set for it? 3/20/20. I do think that was really when FEMA took over and Trump ceased being president, and I think he's just been acting since. And I agree with you. I think there's a lot of legitimate people. I heard Lynn Wood's testimony yesterday, and I was very favorably impressed. I think the guy's legitimate. I think General Flynn is legitimate. What they've done, and when I speak of they, I'm speaking of the Cabal or the Illuminati or the Nosferatu or who you refer to as the 12 Disciples of Satan. I would even broaden the definition. I don't doubt that there are 12 people, but I think there are Europeans involved, and I even think that it's all moved to Asia now. What I know about the Jesuits and their infiltration of China, and obviously they've controlled the Soviet Union from the very get-go, Joseph Stalin, Jesuit priest, Mao Zedong, of course, was Jesuit trained, his successor, Zhou Enlai, a Jesuit himself. So you have this shadow government worldwide, and what connects them is you've got the ruling families, the royal bloodlines, of which Trump does have quite a pedigree, and then you also have the Vatican, and specifically of the five major theological branches, Dominican, Franciscans, and so on. The Jesuits have infiltrated all of them. And in fact, the Jesuits have infiltrated almost every institution. There are 52 Jesuit universities in America. And, you know, the crazy thing is there aren't any Jewish boys and girls that tend to go to their own yeshiva. Instead, they go to Jesuit universities. And I, quite frankly, I don't know anyone, and I've got a number of Israeli friends, and none of them are educated in Israeli schools. So I'm just making the point that if you're trying to figure out where's the connection between the 12 disciples and who integrates things, I think if you don't include the black pope, the gray pope, the pope we see, and the royal bloodlines and so forth, there are literally maybe 50, 100 families worth over 100 trillion. Vatican's probably worth 500 trillion. And you've suggested before, Stu, that a clawback is what's necessary. And we can't go there. I don't have the time today, but I'd like to close it down with final thoughts about where are we at in the next 30 days? What do you guys foresee, Joffrey?
Well, I think we're on pace for a, as Biden would call it, he wants the Build Back Better. And I think we're on pace for the Great Reset. And I think you could make a case that if you take California or Texas out of the picture, cripple either one of those two economies or states, and you get a ripple effect in everything else. And as a country, we know that we are pretty much now just servicing the debt with interest. We're making the minimum payment on our debt. And you just can't continue to do that. And if you do, you know, eventually you get the IMF and you get austerity. It comes to America where we now are the next Venezuela, Guatemala, the hollowing out where somebody's asset stripping your nation because they can. When you are the debtor, you have to turn over everything. And I think that's and the domino effect or the ripple effect that we're looking at to get to the Great Reset is we're pulling straws out of camel's back in the game, you know, break the back of the camel and straw game. I think we're kind of doing that. So it isn't fast, but it is happening, and that's just kind of a summary of what you guys have been talking about is the laws are failing us. The players at the top are self-motivated, demonstrative in their demeanor, and that they wish to have us serve them, and it's asked backwards. And so we have a lot of things we're juggling at the same time, economically, weather, financially. It's just really unsustainable the way we're going about it.
Now, you know, Paul, I'm going to add something, because I don't know when the reset is going to happen, but it's going to be a credit debit system. Is the way it's going to happen, folks. And it's going to be, you can't buy or sell without the mark eventually. And that, I still maintain, is, you know, this shot has got that chip in it. Now, Paul, you said something earlier about the Vatican. I don't know whether people really know this, but there were one time up until 2003, he died. His name was Clovenhoof. He was the Black Pope. He was the Black Pope, folks, behind the Pope. Now, Clovenhoof had one leg that was a backward knee like a goat, and he had a hoof like a goat. They said he was the devil. Now, I'd heard about him, and I called Super Spook Johnson up, Otis Johnson, and I said, Otis, I said, I heard this guy named Clovenhoof was the devil behind the scenes. He goes, you got that right. And I said, I heard he died. Someone told me he's dead, some other spook. He says, you got that right, Stu. I said, I didn't know we had the devil alive on the planet. He says, the closest thing to it with a hoof like that. He says, his evil is all hell. I said, I hear they're going to bury him soon. He says, yeah, all the world leaders are showing up in England, Stu. Have you noticed that? All these different world leaders are showing up in England to have a meeting. He said, they're taking the tunnel from there to the Vatican. The tunnel. All these underground tunnels. So I thought I'd bring that up, that look. We've already had one devil. Where's the other one at? He's got to be out here someplace to be in this situation in this time frame. I just wanted to bring that up. And the second thing is, Paul, I don't know what your temperatures are, but ours went from zero and sub-zero, and today, a weird freak event called HARP, we're having 50 degrees today.
We are weather warfare, and we are not in any way. Today we focused on one part of the wheel, one part of the hub, and that's the economy. The thing about the economy is it really is integrated into everything. It's integrated to the World Economic Forum, the reset, the great setup. We shouldn't even call it great. That's their word. And I don't use the term elite either. I use the term parasite, because they take what's not theirs and they trade on pain, misery, suffering, deception, and death. That is their agenda. They They do not care about anyone speaking on this program or anyone listening. We aren't part of the club. And I guess my closing comments is we do have a shadow government that is worldwide, and they are all working together. And weather warfare is your best example that they have it everywhere. It's in China, it's in Russia, it's here. I was in Panama, and it was there. South America is there, and so you have. I think God Almighty is the only one that is keeping this from going even darker, because once the restrainer is removed, then the chain reaction starts, and it's not just going to end difficult for those who aren't saved, who don't know Jesus, who aren't written in the book of life. It's going to go very badly for those who have been totally deceived. There was a woman named Mary Alice Bailey, and she wrote 24 volumes, and it's called Externalization of the Hierarchy. And it really is the United Nations plan, and they've really followed it. The only thing I can tell you is they're behind schedule. And this Build Back Better, this Great Con or setup that they've been working on, we are going to see, in my estimation, a collapse of the economy. I'm going to use a guy that I've communicated with over time, and I think sometimes he gets good information. Steve Quayle said the food chain is broken, and Texas was just their beta test to prove it. And anyone that can buy food now probably should get it, because if they do to other states what they do, what they've done to Texas, you have a total collapse of just-in-time deliveries, and that is then going to be coupled with economic collapse. And I could be wrong. Steve Quayle could be wrong. But I think that Texas is a great example that you better have some water, some food to eat, and, we all got to eliminate waste. And right now, my biggest concern for 15 million Texans is they don't have clean water. And after about 3 days, sanitation can take care of almost all of us. Anyway, that's my last comment, guys.
You know, I just want to add this, that most Texans aren't Texans. 95% of them are transplants from the Midwest and upper Midwest. Folks went to Texas. A lot of people ended up in California. A lot of people ended up in Arizona during the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000 time frame. A lot of transplant because of jobs and because of weather was also the thing. Texas was a nice place to live. Dallas, I lived there. Nice place. If you notice what has happened with Texas and the jet stream, Paul, this was intentional what they did. And they harmed and are now displacing those people. Look at all the people in California due to the coronavirus that has left. Due to the weather modification where it's washing the place apart, left. No food supply. Look at Texas. Frozen. When they turn this place back on, oh my God. Gonna be billions and billions in damage. Water damage, all kinds of stuff. This is what they're doing to everybody. They're harming you economically now. They're bringing heat down on your head. They're trying to drive you homeless. I can see this bigger picture of their play. And quite frankly, I don't like it. Jeff, you got a comment?
Oh, I think you guys are right on. That just seems to be right. Seems to be the case. I am concerned about the future. But yeah, like I say, we know the roadmap. We know how it ends. So, anyway, I concur in agreement with what you both just mentioned.
Go ahead, Paul.
We talked about the Book of James yesterday, the introduction to the Book of James. And one of the things that we know is that our human minds don't think like the mind of God. And one of the things that James said is, count yourself blessed that you're going to be tested. And in addition to that, when you're tested, that's when you're purified. And I think that we're going to be tested. And I think that our faith and our resilience in the King of Kings is going to be revealed. And I think God has a plan for all of us. And I think a lot of us can be part of the remnant. I truly think right now that the government agencies, they are trying to figure out who in America is part of the 144,000. They also want to know who the two witnesses are. You know what, the book of Revelation may be their playbook, but they sure take it very seriously, and they think there's going to be two witnesses, and they think there's 144,000, and they know there is a remnant. And what I would encourage everyone to do is get in their Bibles. I would go to John, the Gospel of John, and then I would go to Isaiah, or go with Isaiah back to John, and read those a couple times. And then I think through a little bit of prayer and maybe some fasting and then a lot more prayer, I think you're going to have a roadmap for what you need to do. You know, we can give you conventional wisdom. What we can tell you is that all those preppers in Texas thought they had a plan, and almost every prepper that I've heard from in Texas said, I had no clue that there were things I didn't know, and there are many lessons to learn. There's a guy named Mike Adams who you might want to consider listening to. I think he has a 15-point lessons learned about prepping. And, you know, ultimately, it's all in God's hand, and he's still on the throne, and he's the King of Kings, and that's who we serve. And so blessings to all, and I get to sign off because I have commitments. So
close it out with prayer, Paul, would you please?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to share what we believe to be reality. And thank you for the listeners who trust us enough to listen to us and consider what we have to say. But what we ask from you is your mercy, your protection, your wisdom, and your guidance. We know you're on the throne. We know that you have a plan, and we know that if we choose you and if we get in your book of life, that we have eternity. And eternity is a long time. I would like a lot of do-overs, and I've got issues in my life that require my attention, and I am working out my salvation with fear and trembling. And if you're like me, you know, it's an arduous journey, but it also is a joyful experience. And we have this minute, we have this hour, we have this day, and we ask that you bless all of us, and we ask those things by the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Jeff.
You bet, guys.
Okay, take care.